I am Planta on the line. This is the commentary.ca. With the end of the Winter Olympic Games here in Vancouver, we continue looking back at what they were and what they meant and more with my colleague Ann Jan Schacklader. He is a regular contributor to this program, occasionally filling in here. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program Ann Jan Schacklader. Good morning, Mr. Schacklader.
Good day, Joseph. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, you're in the unique position of watching, having had watched the games online and on TV, as well as attending the events. What was attending the events like?
Well, I just went to hockey games, I should say that. And I went to a women's game and three men's games. And the one thing that strikes out right away is how many different flags you see. And the crowd's boisterous, enthusiastic, but it's very polite, but it's people are there to show their colors off. And you would see a lot of athletes from other countries sitting as a group wearing their Dutch orange or their Chinese red or their Korean blue and black and red, whatever it is. But that was the thing that struck you right away.
And watching them on television, did you find that the broadcasters, in this case CTV, did a good job in broadcasting the games online as well as on TV?
I thought so. I mean, I think that what typically happens, of course, is that they focus on Canadian athletes. All countries do that on their Olympic broadcasts, and it's kind of interesting. I actually happened to see a couple of other foreign broadcasts online. I saw BBC, some BBC coverage, and I saw some coverage from some countries. I couldn't, to be honest with you, even understand the language. I wasn't quite sure if it was Czech or Russian or something, but they do tend to focus on their athletes, but I thought for the most part, CTV was not only interested in broadcasting the actual sporting events, but the greater aura that these games seem to have, and they seem to spend a lot of time focusing on the more profound impact that this two-week event might have on this country.
What did you make of the the seemingly outpouring of nationalism, if you will, if we can call it that, in this country over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's to use a cliche that's become fashionable recently, this has potential to be a game changer in the evolution of this country's culture. This is the newest nation on Earth. It's not the newest state on Earth. It's the newest nation on Earth. It's the last part of this planet that's to be significantly populated. States have borders, nations have people with shared cultural values, and we've had this eternal search in this country for what are these cultural values. And being a historian, having gone to grad school for Canadian history in particular, I think since Confederation there have been three nation-defining moments. One was World War One, one was World War Two, and then one was 1967. The problem with World War One and World War Two is that the loss of life was so significant that it kind of obliterated any sort of national pride that may have emerged from these two world wars and our significant contribution to them. And then with 1967, you had, of course, Expo 67, the 100-year anniversary, the flag becoming in vogue for the first time. But then you had the October crisis just 3 years later, which sort of washed away any long-term national goodwill goodwill-fueled nationalism that would have emerged. I think this has a chance to be in that realm. And, of course, historians in 20 to 30 years and beyond will determine that.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the meaning of these games across the country. Now, when you mentioned 67, Expo 67 is a nation-defining moment, was that something that affected the entire country, like on this coast in particular? I mean, I wasn't around then, so and I haven't read much on it. I read the Burton book, but other than that, did people in Vancouver, say, feel the spirit of 67 as, say, other parts of the country feel 2010?
Yes, I do, and as a matter of fact, let's face it, BC has been called, the historians have called them the spoiled child of the Confederation. We've had this ambivalence towards the rest of the country, as have many Western Canadians beyond BC, and I have never seen so many Canadian flags around the city. And what was particularly remarkable to me was how recent immigrants who can't even necessarily speak English very well, and certainly have no history with the sports, the winter sports that we were celebrating the last 2 weeks, never having participated, probably never having watched, they were wearing those maple leaf tattoos, and they were into this as much as anybody, and that was what really struck me. So, in answer to your question, yes, the number of maple leaf flags and car flags and flags draped on residential windows was astonishing and remarkable, and unlike anything I've seen. And I've lived in the city for the last 40 years, so I think I'm a pretty good authority on that one.
Now, when you say you saw immigrants having outward expressions of Olympic and national spirit, what do you think that means down the road to the sort of makeup of the country?
Well, most immigrants come here for a better way of life. They come here for financial reasons. They don't come here because they want to try poutine or anything like that. And when they come here, I think most immigrants want to not just embrace a new job or a newfound rise to middle class status. They want to embrace something greater than that. They want to embrace a culture. But if people like me and historians can't quite define what that is, I mean, how do you expect new immigrants to wrap their arms around it if we can't even tell them what it is? So in that sense, I think that these Olympic Games have helped define us to them. And that's why they jumped on this bandwagon, unlike anything I've ever seen before.
How do you think Vancouver did in hosting the Games? I mean, as someone who's lived here for as long as you have, you've been inconvenienced by them, I'm sure. In the end of the day, was it all worth it?
I think it was, and then some. I thought it was very interesting that the Games got off to a disastrous start. We had the tragic death of that Georgian luger. We had that car gun fiasco in the opening ceremonies. Cyprus was melting like chocolate in the sun, in an afternoon sun. We had that fiasco at the speed skating oval where we couldn't get the three different separate machines to work properly to resurface the ice, causing delays and a lot of consternation amongst the competitors. And I believe it was the third day, there was a reporter from The Guardian or BBC who asked one of the IOC officials at a news conference, could this be the worst Games of all time? And I think in the past, we would have been so overly apologetic over this, which is something that's very Canadian, but we had a different attitude this time around. It was like, we're going to have the biggest party of our lives here. You're more than welcome to join it, but if you don't want to join it, screw you. You can go home. We showed almost a defiance that is very, very un-Canadian, and that was particularly by the people in Vancouver because it is our Games. But we didn't take the criticism personally the way we would have in the past. In terms of the infrastructure, the public transit was used the way it was planned to. Skytrains were packed at night. The much anticipated rides never happened. That little thing on the—I think it was the first Saturday where a few people smashed a couple windows. Trust me, I mean, ask people around the world. That's nothing compared to a riot. That's a little mayhem as far as they're concerned. So the rioting never happened. The public transit was great. People were extremely well behaved. The police did an excellent job. There were no police incidents reported. I think the people in Vancouver get an A plus on this. And as someone who's going up here and being critical of this, of my city and my people in the city, I was proud of the people of the city for what they did for the last couple of weeks.
Do you consider yourself proud to be Canadian after all this?
I've always been a proud British Columbian, and I'm certainly more proud to be Canadian than I was before. Yes, I think virtually everyone in this country would say that to one degree or another.
Does this last, though? You talk about this un-Canadian defiance. Does this last down the road? I mean, or is this just because we're a few days after the event?
Well, that's the million-dollar question that we don't know, and that's something all of us collectively will determine. But I have a feeling it will, because I don't see, unlike the previous three nation-defining events that I alluded to earlier, I don't see any negative clouds on the horizon for this country. Now, in terms of future Olympics, I think the podium will continue. I think you know, we have very quietly become a Winter Olympic power. No one talks about that. And I think that is something that should be talked about. And I think our place on the stage, we're going to look at our place on the stage and be proud of it. So I think the potential is there for this to be game-changing, like I said earlier. But, again, we will all collectively determine that over the next decade or so, I would imagine.
The 14 gold medals won, did that surprise you as a sports fan?
Yes. I mean, that is the all-time record of gold medals of any country. So we have broken, no country in the world has ever won 14 gold medals in the Olympics. Now, keep in mind, the Winter Olympics have added quite a few events over the last few years, so, you know, there has to be an asterisk beside that record. But what I find very interesting is that the IOC and other countries in the world other than North America all consider the gold medal to be precedent when it comes to owning the podium. For example, if anyone looks at a European newspaper online, go to the sports section, look at the medal standings, Canada's first. The world thinks we own the podium. We don't. That's the last vestige of our Canadiana, I guess. I mean, go on the IOC website. We own the podium. We won the Olympics. And every other country in the world except us in the U.S. Believe that.
Do you think the games have changed the view that people outside of the country have had of Canada and Canadians? I mean, you've talked about it already, and I mean, you talked about this sort of this defiance that we had after people were complaining about, you know, our infrastructure and some of the buildings and the sort.
But that's a hard question for me to answer because I haven't traveled around the world very much recently. But sports is a defining characteristic that people use when evaluating other countries, I think. And in that sense, being, as I said, we own the podium. We may not believe it, but the rest of the world believes it. I think that does put Canada in a different stature in some people's eyes around the world. What that means, you know, does that translate into more foreign investment? I don't know about that. I certainly think it'll make Canada a more desirable country for other immigrants around the world to look to, though, as if we need more. But I think perhaps a different type of a different sort of people around the world that may not have considered Canada to be a place that they wanted to move to or immigrate to might change their views on that.
How about national unity and that question there? It hasn't confounded us over the last decade or so. Do you think these games have improved that, perhaps?
Yes, I do. And if you look at, I mentioned earlier that we've become a Winter Olympic power, quietly. We were a doormat until the 1980s. And then what put us on the map in terms of gold medals and world-class performance were Quebecois athletes. Gaétan Boucher in Sarajevo, and then Miriam Bedard, the great biathlete. That's where our Winter Olympic prowess really started, was in Quebec in the 1980s. And it's carried on to all parts of our country now. And what I remember was when these Quebec athletes were building a sort of a small powerhouse within Canada, they would be quite open about professing themselves to be proud to be Canadian, but proud to be Quebecois. As a matter of fact, I think in the early 90s, the Quebec contingent of the Canadian Winter Olympic team had specially made flags that were half maple leaf, half fleur-de-lis. And when they won medals, they would carry this dual flag around with them as they celebrate. We didn't see that this time around. When Joanie Rochette, whose mother died during the Olympics, sort of became the darling, not just for us, but for the world in terms of you know, what happened to her, they showed a clip of her, not a clip, but some footage of her own little party in Berthierville, Quebec, with her family and friends watching her perform. I didn't see a single fleur-de-lis flag there. They were all dressed in red, and they were all Canadian flags. You would not have seen that as recent as 15 years.
Finally, is there in the din of your memory, is there a special Olympic memory that stands out that you'll keep with you for a long time?
I think it might be Joanie Rochette.
What about Sunday's hockey game?
Well, Sunday's hockey game was great, and that's a, you know, that's an electric moment. But in terms of, I mean, Canada has won at that level. Canada's beaten Russians. We beat the U.S. in the 2002 gold medal game. We've done that. It's always a great moment when it happens again. But I think the larger nation-defining moments are the ones that'll stick with me. And I don't think that there's any more profound moment than what Joanna Rochette did. She didn't even win a gold. She won a bronze. But she was a Quebecois, but she's one of ours. It didn't matter if we're from Manitoba, from Vancouver. She was one of ours, and I think that's the moment that will stick with me.
Well put. Thanks for joining us, Anjan.
Have a good day, Joseph.
You too. Anjan Chaklater on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.